Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Things.
Do the hammer line.
You've stumbled across another episode of Wrestling Art with Chris Things. I am Chris Things Brian, your host, your pal, your wrestling artist guy. Sometimes I'm a guy who you know, sets up playlists of wrestling for people to watch. Doing that lately, that was fun. But welcome to the show. This is our Match of the Week edition. Been a little moment for that, so back to some regularity. We got two matches to talk about today. It's a double header. We've got an incredible match from 1989 New Japan. Fantastic junior heavyweight wrestling action between Jushin Thunder Liger and Black Tiger, the incarnation of him, the original incarnation that was Mark Rollerball Rocco. And then we have just an amazing, bizarre, fascinating, weird, wonderful match that was the famed empty arena match between Jerry Lawler and Terry Funk from Memphis Wrestling. Incredible stuff. I'm very excited to be talking to my dear pal David about that. Got him back on the line all the way across the other side of the world in the UK. So very excited to be chatting to him in a little bit. But in the meantime, we've got our What's Going On in the World of Chris Things segment here. And I've you know, just finished up. I think last time I mentioned how I had all of the crazy things going on, culminating in the first ever wrestling club that we had, that special edition of the episode last week. If you haven't heard that, maybe go back and give it a re-listen. I think it's a fun kind of listen. Hopefully it captures a little bit of what I was going for there. But after that all got done and dusted, I've had a brief little bit to sort of take a breath and get back onto my other things, you know, my other priorities, commission stuff, the book has been a big one, actually. Doing some little final business for the upcoming new Way of the Blade book, which has been so weird to think about. I mean, this is gonna be a good time, you know, for me to have a little bit of a chinwag about this Way of the Blade sequel. I don't speak about it too much on the episodes lately, but now I think we're getting near launch date, guys, finally, for this big Way of the Blade sequel, the AEW edition of Way of the Blade. And I'm starting to get a bit excited. So I don't officially have a release date yet, but I think that'll be coming very soon. And then hopefully we can have this book in your hot little hands. I'm excited to have it in my hands. Like, it's so weird. Like, It's such a funny thing with books. Like, I did most, the lion's share of the illustrations for this book in, I want to say it was either May or June of last year. It was basically right, the first thing that I did as soon as I quit my job as a marketing manager. It's pretty you know, big significant life change there. My big jump into trying to be an artist or illustrator full time. The first thing was, all right, cool, I'm going to be busy for the next month or whatever doing, you know, all of the 60 odd or more illustrations for this book, which was a wonderful experience, wonderful process. But yeah, like, it's been a year and change since I did that, since we had the deadline, you know, the initial deadline for me to get these illustrations completed. But then there's just so many other things that happen, I think, in you know, the book illustration, publication game. So there's a lot of stuff, a lot of complications, and a lot of work that needs to be done on other ends of it that I'm not seeing. Even, like, you know, because I think the Amazon release of it is a you know, key element of the release. A lot of it has to slot in with their timelines, I believe. So, you know, whenever Bezos thinks it's best to put out some bloody wrestling goodness. So apparently he's decided that's in the near future. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, it's just such a weird thing, because when I was doing it, I was so entrenched and that was my everything of doing these illustrations. You know, I was holding myself to a pretty high level to try to really get them all out, you know, all in the same go all together. So I was doing, you know, maybe two or three illustrations in a day for this book, and each one, you know, they are quite time consuming. You don't think, oh well, that's pretty easy, just do a little squiggle and then, you know, it's done. It's a little bit more than that, you know. A big part of it that I pride myself on with these books, these illustrations for the matches, you know, same thing with the match of the week, might I say, but especially for something that's going to be going into a big official book like this, is picking the moment for the illustration in question. So for this AEW book, we basically had two moments that I got to choose for the each match, which, or, you know, some of them I think I did a couple more, but for the most part, tried to keep it to about two, which was kind of fun. You know, a lot of the time, especially with these matches of the week, I only get to do the one illustration, so it can be really hard to try to pick that best moment. So it was kind of cool being able to break it down of, like, pick the top couple of moments in each of the matches. But that takes time, you know. It's rewatching every one of these matches and then, you know, pretend sometimes going, like, frame by frame to pick that exact right one. That can be a bit of a time consuming process, but definitely a labor of love. Like, I loved every moment doing it. Like, it was so much fun. I'll probably talk a little bit more about this, you know, when the actual book release is announced, but the actual process of going back and watching a lot of these matches, because I was so in love with that AEW product when it first, you know, came out. I think it was so important to wrestling as a whole, that we finally had, like, a big scale competitor in place to challenge the you know, monopoly that had been put in power ever since, you know, the sad day that you know, ECW and then WCW went out of business. You know, I think that was a terrible, terrible thing to happen for wrestling. And so it was so important that we finally had a competitor. And then in those early days, there was so much great stuff. The early years, honestly, going back and doing this book and looking over all these matches, it was honestly so lovely. And you almost forget how good some of that early stuff was. So that was just a lovely thing to get to do. You know, I think those early AEW years were very special. and it was very fun to get to relive them. And especially with such a putting such a fine eye over it, you know, and I'm looking for the actual moment of, you know, for the match. So super cool. But yeah, I think that I'll put a pin in that for now. I'll save a bit more of the Way of the Blade AEW edition talk for the future. But yeah, I'm having fun right now. I'm getting onto a bit of stuff I've been meaning to do for a while when I was all crazy and busy. So yeah, it's a nice little time right now. But yeah, if you guys have any like commission ideas as well, this might be a good time too. If you have a commission you would like me to do, don't hesitate to reach out. We'll get you locked in the books. And get some stuff happening. But yeah, I'm happy to be making progress too with stuff that I've been meaning to do for a while. It's good to be able to have a bit of a breath between all this crazy schedule of events. And then yeah, gonna be back at it. Lucha Fantastica coming up in Sydney next week that I'll be traveling down for. Very excited for that. Very excited to see everybody. So please jump on the events page, chrislings.com.au/events, and you can see all my comings and goings. Yeah, I think that's about it. And oh, and don't forget about Wrestling Club Part 2. There's another one that's going to be on there. And yeah, I've just got all the things that I'm trying to load up. Okay, but that's about it. Let's get ready for some Match of the Week action. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our latest little old Match of the Week doubleheader. I am very excited to be joined by none other than my best mate in the whole wide world, David, to talk about two bloody great, very interesting matches. Welcome to the show, my dude.
Hello, thanks for having me. I'm still alive, still here.
I'm happy about that. And part of the reason I wanted to have you on the show for this particular one is because this is the first one after our wrestling club. And yes. I mentioned to you, and I mentioned to everyone there actually, that, you know, whole very important part of this wrestling club is like, you know, coming from our wrestling hangs, you know, and I feel like we've had more wrestling hangs than like any of my other mates. I feel like we've watched some of the most delightfully great wrestling in you know, varying states of toxicatedness. And had some lovely times together. So the whole reason of the wrestling club being around is basically recreating those hangs. And I said to you, you know, obviously you're on the other side of the world right now, so unfortunately you couldn't be there for that first wrestling club. But I was like, you were definitely there in spirit. And I really feel maybe for the next one, we need to have like a framed picture of you, you know, above the fucking TV.
Just like a framed picture of me just like passed down on a brick or something. Just like, who's that? Oh, that's David. He's a lovely guy, I swear. I promise. Once you get to know him, once you look past like the initial confrontation and all the shit he's going to stir at the start, he's actually a really nice guy.
I've yet to meet someone who your ridiculousness has been enough to fend him off for good.
Oh, that's good. I'll take the compliment. That's all right.
Yeah. So yeah, you're basically our Misawa of the wrestling club, forever in our hearts. You're always there in spirit.
Watching, always watching.
that stern face.
I was so sad that I missed it. Yeah, it looked so good, and also in Brewski as well. Two things are very close to our hearts.
Yes, the amount of beers that we got from Brewski. For our listeners at home, Brewski's right on my street, and they had this great sort of like underground bottle shop. My Beer Dealer is the name of it. And the amount of times that we would go there, and they used to have this great little reject beer bin. of short-dated and outdated stock of beers. They since got rid of it, I assume, because of health and safety concerns. But yeah, the amount of like semi-expired delightful beers that we consume together.
Yes, yeah, some of them you never knew where. It's just like, oh, this has a delightful flavor to it. And then you get it again next time and it didn't taste the same. And I didn't know whether there was like a mold on the inside that had grown and that was like adding to the flavor.
I feel like it worked really well, especially for like the sour kind of beers, you know, the ones where you got your real weird like lambic sours and shit that are like, you know, meant to be that sort of like semi like bacteria kind of state. It's like, who knows what it's meant to be like.
It's just hit the cusp of being like radioactive and then still being healthy. Well, not healthy, but, you know, it's got a slight decaying tang to it.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. I mean, I like some weird beers, but yeah, it's a funny thing when you don't know, is it meant to taste like this? I don't know.
Yeah, not always taste, or am I dying? Is that blood in my mouth, or is that just like a sweet iron? No. Oh yeah. So yeah, the wrestling club, brewski. Did you get any wings while you were there?
The one I stupidly didn't think to take it like a picture or a group photo or anything like that on the first one. I'll have to try to do that for the second one. The one photo that one of my art pals that came along and supported, Joe. Shout out to Joe if he's listening to this. Great bloke. He took a story picture of the night. Of like sort of like, you know, a sneaky one from the back of everyone like watching the graps, as they say, and of course, like, I've got like I feel like anytime there's wings on hand, I'm always gonna be either have it in my hand, have it in my mouth, like, yeah, I was like mid wing consumption in that photo, which I think's appropriate.
I think that's like just sums it all up, doesn't it?
Yeah, love a good buffalo wing, blue cheese sauce.
Oh, man, it's been so long since I've had any good wings.
Damn. I mean, yeah, Britain, UK, London, not very known for their good food.
No. But they do their best.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
But yeah, extra sad that fucking Brewski is closing down as well. So, yeah, this next wrestling club will be the last one ever at Brewski as we know it. 21st of August. Hope all the Brisbane pals can get along. And then, who knows, I feel like I'll definitely be looking to find a new home for the wrestling club thereafter.
I reckon you should go the opposite direction, hey? Instead of, like, going, oh, let's find a different direction, I reckon you should put posters up everywhere saying, save Brewski, but don't tell, like, the staff or don't tell the owner. Just try and shill as much as you can to get as much money as possible.
And then pocket it?
And then they're just like, oh, all that money was gone to Brewski. And he goes, well, no. No, in reality, no. I just stole as much as I could.
Hey, I'm a starving artist.
You've got to do these. Just become like the Donald Trump of the art world. Just give promises, make promises you can't keep, and then end up taking all the profit that's meant to be going to charity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some sort of faux charity. That sounds like a great idea. Mm.
Yeah, I reckon the starving artist, Starving Artist Foundation, SAF.
Have a picture of me with that wing in my hand, like, feed this hungry artist.
I mean, you should get one of those ones where you've got like a stick and then all your wares like tied up in a bandana on your back. Yeah. And then, like real trampy, kind of like a shoe that's got like your toes sticking through it.
Love that. I mean, we're just talking about me having that trench coat that I can open up and like have all my wares lining the bloody trench coat.
Yeah, you have to be naked underneath though.
Oh, of course.
You have to be naked underneath.
That doesn't need to be said. It's just, you know, how else do you do the trench coat look? I think that's the only option, right?
You gotta have that. You gotta have that shock value in there as well.
Yeah. Just a cheeky little. You know, how's your father?
That's it. Maybe like hang something. Maybe like hang something off your penis as well.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. You gotta use it all, man.
So, yeah, wrestling club was a delight. But so coming out of wrestling club, some of my favorite matches, my favorite thing that I ended up watching that week ended up being that incredible Terry Funk versus Jerry Lawler empty arena match, which. So much to say about that. And then also, we have a fantastic 1989 Jushin Liger versus Black Tiger, Rollerball Rocco under the Black Tiger mask in this occasion. So especially for that one, you know, going back to our World of Sports stuff that we used to watch a bit back in the day, and our love of old Rollerball Rocco, right? You know, no one better than I thought would be more appropriate to talk to about this match than yourself. So, two fine matches, I feel. What were your opening thoughts on the duo there?
I thought it was good. I thought it was like, oh yes, two quick 15 minute matches. Two like little classics that we can just jump into. I always love like just seeing Rollerball Rock up pop up wherever. I'm always a big fan of. Like I think everyone's like no one's got a bad word to say about Jushin Liger.
No.
Either. Like he's always been entertaining. He's always like a timeless classic of Japanese wrestling. He always has fun with his matches as well. Like as hard as he can go. And as athletic as he's always been, it's always just fun.
Oh yeah,
I was watching that, and then the thing I always remember about like the Terry Funk and Jerry Lawler match is just like, you jackass! Like, every time I hear the word jackass, I just think of like Terry Funk, Jerry Lawler, and then old Lance in there as well.
Oh my god!
By himself for like the first 15. Oh, by himself for like the first 5 minutes, so talking good. To himself.
To the cameraman. Like,
oh, rolling. He's like, the lights are on. All of them are all ready to go. I was just waiting for him now. Just got to fire a cigarette.
Oh shit! We're right. All right. I'll throw away the cigarette then.
Yeah, just throws it on the floor. Like, oh yeah, okay, all right, here we go.
So good. I adore this. The more I watch that empty arena match, the more like Lance Russell is just the greatest commentator of all time, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, so much to love. Like in the last episode of this podcast, I actually like played a good chunk of the audio of that match because that actually works so well as just like an audio only kind of magical thing. So I don't know whether people actually listened all the way through, but I thought that was so much fun. And I watched it again today in preparation for the show, and that match, the more I watch it, the more I love it. There's more weird little things that you adore about it. And yeah, there's so many like quotes that I wrote down that it just like work fantastic. It's just quotes.
Yeah. What was the one where he's like Terry Funk's gone like all the way out in the audience, and then Jerry Lawler's really close to the ring. He's like, get away from me. He's like, you just spent the first like 5 minutes in the ring by yourself calling Jerry Lawler a piece of shit. He's like, he ain't got the guts. He ain't got the intestinal fortitude. And then he's like, all the way out in the audience. He's like, get away from me.
Leave me alone. He's so amazingly contradictory in it. Like, just the best shit-eating heel. That's actually a thing that I think unites these two matches as being like really good together. They both feature amazing shit-eating heels between Terry Funk and Rocco here. But man, so good to start off with. So official business here. So first match is between again Jushin Thunder Liger and Black Tiger, aka Mark Rollerball Rocco. This took place in New Japan Pro Wrestling for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship on July 12th of 1989 on day 19 of NJPW Summer Fight Series 1989 at Osaka Prefectural Gymnasium. And man, this was actually the first, I believe, the first match I've ever seen where Rocco, I'm getting to see Rocco as Black Tiger. I think all the other Black Tiger I'd ever seen was Eddie as Black Tiger. And I can almost say, I hope Josh doesn't hear this, but I feel like Rocco is even better than Eddie Guerrero as Black Tiger. That may be a big call, but from watching this, man.
I mean, I'm an Eddie Guerrero man all the way. I think I think it's just because I love Eddie Guerrero so much. I just don't. Yeah, I don't know. But Rollerball is also one of the most like entertaining wrestlers of that era. I find like one of the most expressively physically expressive wrestlers as well. And then even under the mask, like none of his attitudes lost.
Yeah.
I think he donned it so well. I think he popped that mask on, went for it, and he did like such a good job. So I reckon he's a very close second. But yeah, I think it's always going to be Eddie Guerrero for me.
That is a fair call. Like, I think there's a big part of it to me where, yeah, you're exactly right. He's so physically expressive that obviously, you know, he's such a great, like, loud mouth, massive personality as Rollerball Rocco from we see in, you know, all this World of Sports stuff or Oslo or whatever. Then you see him under the mask and he's like, it's like he's even... Yeah, he's even more, with every movement, there's like something going on where he still has every bit of that expression and liveliness that he does without it under the mask. I think that's amazing. And I think there's a lot of stuff that he did that was probably quite influential on the way that that Eddie, you know, approached the Black Tiger character. Because it must have been a huge weight on the shoulders of taking that gimmick from what, you know, Rollerball did with it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's just such a good gimmick. Like, just Black Tiger Mask has always been so good. Just such a good counter to, like, Tiger Mask himself.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then also, like, obviously, it's just Tiger Mask, Black Tiger Mask. Like, the name itself has just got, like, a one-word difference. Mm. But the two characters are so completely different. Like, I love it. I love seeing, like, the antithesis of another character being brought in, and it actually works.
Yeah, and I guess they were both, like, manga characters as well. And then same as Liger, right? I think he started out from, like, either a Japanese manga or a Japanese cartoon. So this sort of continues on that thing of these, like, manga characters, like, come to life. And, yeah, it's just so great. Like, the World of Sport rounds as well, I wasn't expecting that too. Like, we actually get, like, the old British rounds through this match too, which I think really adds something kind of special.
I feel like that's actually, well, with the British side of thing, I think the Rollerball Rocco brings, like, a cool, like, British flair to it as well. Like, when he does, like, the roll-out shoulder charge thing where he gets him in, like, the Sergeant Slaughter clutch when they're standing.
Oh,
he quickly rolls him out and then gives him, like, the shoulder barge, gives him the quick shoulder that knocks him down. And he's giving him all those, like, old-school little knee drops.
He kind of used the arm as like the ripcord to bring him back for the shoulder of it. Like, that was little shit like that I watched. I'm like, man, if I was still wrestling, that's exact kind of little nifty thing that I would have stolen. Hey,
yeah, just those quick things where you don't make a whole meal out of it. It's just a quick little, like, here's something. Here's a little reward for everyone watching. Just give him a little little flair.
Taste a little snacky snack.
Yeah, but I think it's, again, it's one of those things, like wrestling under a mask, you have to do all these, like, physical things in order to express yourself.
Yeah.
Like, express the fact that you're, like, a heel. You can't just, like, cheat constantly, you know, but you've got to do these, like, snappy, expressive, like, explosive dick things, I suppose. You can be an asshole in your own little way.
Yeah. Exactly. I think a big thing that I noticed of this match is just the constant movement, and especially with Rollerball, like the constant trying to win by any means necessary. Like, he's being a heel. He's clearly a shit-eating heel bad guy, trying to use any underhanded tactic that he can. But, like, at all times he's trying to win. It's not like he's just, like, you know, walking around the ring, like, puffed out chest, like, look how great I am. I could give a fuck about winning this match, you know? It's like he's always trying to win, and he has, like, a real sense of urgency about everything that he's doing, and I really love that.
Yeah, pretty much at all points in this match, they're, like, face-to-face. They're, like, facing off. There's, like, a couple of bits where it goes outside the ring for a bit, but it's always, like, the tempo is there.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, everything that Rocco does, I thought was so sick in this. Like, the little things as well, like you're saying. Like, even the opening sort of, like, exchange that they had, it's just the quickest little sort of, like, exchange where, like, Liger eventually gets the better of it. And then Rocco, again, that, like, character stuff you're talking about, he has, like, that, like, cocked fist, like, pointing his finger at Liger like this, like, why are you on a... Like, it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of like openings, like it starts off, I wouldn't say hot, but it starts off like quickly, and then they just like keep on top of each other for like the whole first round. I think the whole first round is just people, them both going like trying to measure each other up.
Mm-hmm.
They're both giving each other like a couple of moves, they're both getting each other in a couple of holds. You know, there's like Liger's little where he goes from like side control, pops their elbow up on the floor, gives that a little stomp. You know, both of them are giving each other a bit of shit here and there. But yeah, it's like it's a hot match the whole time.
Oh, for sure. And I love that Liger is so willing to return whatever, you know, Rocco Black Tiger is going to throw at him. Like, you sort of sometimes have that, like, you know, really squeaky clean baby face that's like, well, I'm going to play by the rules here. You know, like, Liger's like, motherfucker, if you're going to sling mud at me, I'm sticking it right back at you, you know? Like, he's right there, aggressive. And I think that's a big part of why the crowd, like, had such an affinity and a love for Liger. Like, obviously, he was an incredible wrestler, did some bloody awesome, you know, moves and broke out some groundbreaking stuff for the time. But he always had, like, the fire and wrestled with that, like, fire and, like, such heart and, like, aggressiveness. I think that's a big part of the draw card of what made Liger so special.
Yeah. Yeah, he always had to... that's the special thing about him. He always had that gear. Like, he always had that gear that went above and beyond. Like, he always did his fun little things and, like, all the little tropes he's known for now. But he could also just, like, wrestle really freaking well. Mm-hmm. Turn it on, he could get aggressive. And then just like in a full bodysuit with like one of the most unrevealing masks, I guess, you've like ever seen. Like it hides absolutely everything.
Can I see the only skin on this man that you can see is his hands?
Yeah, his little hands, little digits poking through. And even then, I reckon he should have gloves. Little gloves with little claws. Little Wolverine claws. But he can always turn it on and he can always get aggressive. And it's so cool seeing like a face like him get like aggressive where he's just like, oh yeah, you're gonna do this to me, here we go.
Yeah,
like here's what you're gonna get.
Like we had Rocco breaking out in all these like the underhanded tactics that we're talking about, like the towel. Oh my gosh, the bit where he's coming out of the break between rounds and like keeps the towel. I think that's like a pretty classic World of Sport, you know, trope. I've definitely seen Rocco do that in the past, but he just gets the absolute all that he can of like cheating with this towel of like you know, choking him.
Yeah, like at the opening of the second round, just comes straight out with the towel and just wraps him like. And then he like the little whip off the ropes and another little wrap with the towel. Like yeah, absolutely wrings it dry.
Love it. And then we get like the going on later in the match where he gets the rope out of his gear, like the tag rope or whatever, and he's like choking it with it, getting all the cheating. And then like this is exactly what we're talking about with like Liger returning fire. Like he gets that rope off of him, that pulls it out of his tights and just starts choking the motherfucker with it. Like
No, it's yeah, I love the little bit. I love a bit of face cheating.
Oh yeah, I mean that's one of the most over things.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like you want this. No, it certainly is a great match. But the what was I saying? Yeah, there's a little exchange on the outside as well, where it's like Rollerball punches the pole.
Oh, so good.
And it just like lines up his face. I'm just like, fuck, you better duck, man. Just actually punches the pole too. There's no like giving it nothing.
He hits it so
like
clean.
Yeah, like it didn't move out of the way.
And then he's like over the top, like perfect level of like cell of like punching the post. So good.
Yeah, it's like, oh my head. there's a few little over the top like bits in here. There's the bit where like Liger goes to stomp his balls as well, and they're like, oh yeah. Black Tiger's like, oh, no. Yeah. Logan's like, oh, okay, I guess I won't. He goes, oh, this leg then. He goes, no. It's like, oh, okay, I won't. Okay, stop. All this cheating's okay, but stomping your balls, yeah, I guess I won't do that. Man.
Yeah, there's a line. There's a line, you know.
Yeah. That's it. Could be respectful.
Oh, man. I adore a lot of sort of, I think both of their offenses sick in this, but yeah, especially it's all of a love fest for Rocco. I think for me in this one, like that Tenryu elbow drop off the top, that like backwards kind of one. Always a big fan of that, or like just his amazing like knee drops and like breaking out some shit. Like I don't know if you remember that knee thing that he does to him where he kind of has the knee behind his head and then rides him like all the way from the ropes down to the mat. It's like a move that Raven used to do back in the day. Yeah. I love that move.
Yeah, he pops one of those out in this match. It's a nice little thing. But it ties in nicely. It's like having those degrees of one move, I guess. Like he's got his like low-level knee drops. He's got little cheap knee drops as well. And then he's got the one where he rides him down like that. Yeah. It's just having like levels on the same move, I suppose. Just like varying degrees of effectiveness. That's cool. It's like as the match progresses, you see more and more of it.
Yeah, the way this match ramps up is like one. Like when you that was big stood out to me on the rewatch. Like the way that it goes from, you know, just escalates in the most perfect and organic kind of way, and then yeah, you work your way up, and it's so fast and tight that it's just like feels so right and yeah. Liger's like bloody Koppo kick, man, so sick.
Yes.
And that was like one of the snappiest ones I've ever seen. That was like Funaki'd be proud of that.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. The whole match is like really tight. There's no like huge things of separation. Like the only time there is genuine separation is like between the rounds.
Yep.
When they go between the rounds. A nice tight match. Bit of finger biting.
Yeah, the finger biting bit, man. It's like, again, like just a classic sort of captures that real like piece of shit heel, you know, doing anything he can to cheat, like Rocco. And I just thought the visual was so good. Like I was almost gonna do the one of like Liger sort of getting his comeuppance and choking him with that rope, but there was just something that's like so great of like such a piece of shit heel, like biting the hand. I just love that visual so much. So that was the reason why that was the illustration there.
Yeah. So the match for this piece, we've got on the black background with the yellow ropes. We've got a Jushin Thunder Liger, primary colours. We're going like it's like a salmon red, like a goldy yellow. This black mane, like flying in the wind. Looking good there. Just getting his fucking fingers bitten off by Black Tiger.
The only thing I'm sad about with this illustration, I'm a bit disappointed in myself, was that I couldn't capture Rocco's like glorious moustache a bit better. Like there was a lot going on between the hand and the, you know, biting and that. I can't quite make out the moustache as much as I would have liked, because, you know, Rocco's got to have one of the greatest moustaches in all of wrestling history.
I feel like that's Rocco's moustache, though. It's not really Black Tiger's moustache.
True. It's always been a bit hidden by the mask, I guess, in his Black Tiger days. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But, no, it was a fun illustration.
It's what it is. Can't have it all.
But it was really fun getting to do Liger's, like, classic gear with the red and gold here. Like, you know, Liger's more famous with the white and red sort of outfit later on. But I think this 1989 Liger look went bloody hard.
Yeah, this is... Yeah, I really like it. I think it looks really cool. It's like world championship kind of gear. Instead of, the white, he goes the gold. It's like he's leveled up.
Mm.
No, I think it looks really cool. I think all the gear that they're wearing, you've captured really well in here. I think that, the gold is definitely like the gold on the gear works really well. I'm surprised didn't get more of it. Got a little bit, but yeah. That's good.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was definitely fun to do, and I think there's something great about this kind of one where it's like two masked wrestlers. It's like always like a really fun sort of visual. I think even for people that don't understand wrestling, it's sort of like it's got such a great ridiculous kind of appeal, and like the biting the fingers. Like, yeah, Yeah, pretty fun to do. But yeah, tremendous match all in all. And yeah, the more I watch it, the more I love it. And yeah, I'd highly recommend everyone just keep rewatching this match, because you notice different things and it's so good. I definitely need to watch me some more Rocco as Black Tiger for future homework, I think.
Just Rocco matches in general. Just, oh, yeah. Yeah. Rocco's Black Tiger, amazing. Rocco in general, great.
Mm-hmm.
I love his little flip into the corner.
Oh, so good. If anyone takes his corner bumps, at home, like, those Marty Jones versus Rollerball Rocco matches. Chef's kiss. Oh,
just the absolute, the level of shit talking as well afterwards.
So good.
Listening to Marty Jones call out Rollerball Rocco. You want a second match? Oh, we rock it. It's just like calling someone out in the most polite manner possible. And Rollerball Rocco is just like, fuck you, man.
So bloody British. I love it.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Yeah.
And then we get the complete opposite of that with our next match. So this was built up in the best way possible. In the wrestling club, I played like the promo where Terry threw out the challenge. And then, yeah, so we get this big, very, very original match, this empty arena match, which is just groundbreaking for its time, that took place on April 6th, 1981, at the home of Memphis Wrestling, the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis, Tennessee. Man, from the opening moment, like we were saying, of when Lance Russell is there with the cameraman, just, you know, like getting ready for this match, not sure whether anyone's going to turn up, and like Lance is just that, well, we're just here, and, you know, we'll see if they turn up. That's great. If they don't turn up, well, we've only wasted a little bit of time. But, you know, and it's like Lance is just so fucking lovable in this whole thing.
He is. He's so blasé about it. Even when Terry Funk shows up first, starts throwing abuse around. Like, as soon as he walks in, you can hear him before you see him. Walks in, and he's just like, I told you we wouldn't show up.
And this is after, like, one thing I want to give a special call out to is I feel like Lance gives the greatest introduction to this match, like, you know, once Terry's on his way out, that I have ever seen. Like, and the way he goes, it's the moment when we were saying, when he throws that, like, cigarette, it's like, all right, let me get rid of the cigarette. And then he just goes straight into, like, TV mode. Like, yeah. So good.
Yeah. And it's, yeah. And then, yeah, so we've got about 4 or 5 minutes of poor Lance being abused.
Yeah,
and he's Terry, like, well, hang on, no need to say that. Hang on, let's watch that language.
Oh my gosh, my favorite is, please, Terry, watch your language, because for crying out loud.
We won't be able to use the footage if you cuss like that.
We can't be using this thing if you're swearing all over it.
Yeah. But that, yeah, again, it's just like, yeah, the next sentence to come out of Terry Funk's mouth is literally telling Jerry Lawler to go fuck himself. Oh man, Lance is so good.
And when like Terry's just like, where is he? I'm here, I'm on time, I came all the way from Amarillo. Where is he, Lance? Is he under the ring, Lance?
Yeah. Please, Mr. Funk, it's 1 minute past. It's only a little bit late. Let's just give him a bit more time. No, he's got to, he ain't got the guts. He ain't got the intestinal fortitude. All right, Mr. Funk, I said 1 more minute, just give him a minute. It's only a little bit past now. Let's all calm down.
When Terry starts to talk himself down, he's like, I'm standing around here like an idiot. I'm a fool, yeah. Lance. I'm an idiot. I'm a fool.
But he goes, yeah, he goes like the full circle. And then he looks at, he takes it back on Lance and he goes, you've always been in his corner. Why don't you get in the ring? This is like,
yeah, very funny. Challenges Lance.
For a fight. Yeah. He's like, I can't fight Lawler, so I'll fight Lawler and Jason.
Right? Oh my God.
Anyone who's ever uttered his name, I'll fight them. Yes. Oh, I love it.
This whole thing is like, it's like a one-man show. I mean, the only part that I disagree with that is like, Lance is so incredible in it, right? But this is so the Terry show. It's like you're watching, like, a one-man theatrical performance. Like, it's fucking incredible. Like, even if Jerry Lawler never turned up.
See, I don't know what I actually prefer, the match or the banter before the start. I reckon the banter at the start makes the match.
Yes.
Outside of that.
Oh, but the post-match.
And the post-match? Like, they're the best things about this bit. Like, okay. I know the wrestling in it. The wrestling in it is entertaining. I do love it. But the best part about it is the build-up to it. Just this bit, and then just Lance on the outside. Just please, Mr. Folk, calm down. This guy that's obviously like on edge constantly. And he's like, please, just calm down. Yeah. But
it's just the best, like, dry, like, it's like he's someone's dad who's common, like, someone's polite, nice dad who's, you know, given his time to be here.
Yeah.
His disgust while it's going on. Even better.
Oh, yeah. So good. It's just that flicking of the cigarette butt.
Yeah. Like, there's a bit when, in the actual match, when Terry is just flailing around in the chairs, like, when they go to the outside.
There's, like, a bit where he goes into the chairs where he's, like, he's hit and then he moves his way out of the chairs and he starts, like, collapsing through a few. He grabs one and he hits Lawler with it. And then I don't know whether the chairs are, like, somehow bolted or clipped together because they come apart. They don't come apart neatly. They don't just, like, lift up. They're all kind of clipped. So if one moves, like, there'll be, like, a couple in the roll that move. Yeah, like, at one point, Terry Funk is just laying on, like, a pile of chairs rolling back and forth. And he, like, pulls the chair on top of himself, but then kicks it off. And it's just like, absolute chaos out there. And I was like, wow. Those days, the 80s were a hell of a time.
Oh, incredible. It reminded me almost like Anchorman and, like, Will Ferrell. Like, the level of, like, self-depreciating ridiculousness of Terry Funk through this. Flailing in the chairs, running away from Jerry Lawler. Like, don't come near me.
Don't follow me. Get away from me.
He finally gets, like, the sign and he breaks the thing off, just brains Jerry Lawler with it. And then again, one of my other favorite bits, like, Lance Russell is just like, this is awful. Like, this so is good.
Hang on. Oh, yeah. Another good thing about, like, so Funk in the chairs is one of my favorite bits when, like, Lawler whips Funk into the pile of chairs and then none of them collapse. So he kind of just surfs them across for, like, half a meter. It's just like, wee! And then has to, like, fall himself off and then pull the chairs up. This match is just, like, chaos. It's just ridiculous. It's chaotic. It's fun. There's very minimal amount of actual wrestling in it.
Yeah. All it is, like, the talking, I feel, is so great. Like, the bit when, like, Terry is actually on offense, when he's, like, hit Lawler with, like, the pile driver, he's just screaming, just, like, wailing, like, almost, like, Mick Foley-esque. I assume that's where a lot of Foley got his shit from, where he's just, like, screaming, and he's, like, hitting Jerry Lawler's, like, head into that table, like, over and over and over again. It was so great.
Yeah.
And then he finally leads up, and he's, like, breaks this fucking bit off of the chair or the steps or whatever it is, a sharp piece of wood. And then again, this like this contradictory thing. It's like, I'm going to get his eye. I'm going to get his eye, Lance. He's going. And then the best part is like, and whoever came up with this idea, fucking genius. So it's like, not even that like Jerry Lawler gets this shard of wood off of him and stabs him in the eye and he gets his comeuppance. All he does is he kicks his elbow and then makes the sharp bit of wood go in, like Terry stabs himself in the eye.
Yeah, kicks him in the elbow. Oh, he's like, ah! Yeah. Oh, first 5 minutes is Terry, why isn't Jerry Lawler here? He's a piece of shit. He needs to be here. Last 5 minutes of the match is, my eye! Look at his dad in my eye! Oh.
Please, man, Lance, all, get yeah. me a doctor!
Get me a doctor, me please! A doctor, please, God somebody help! Me. Help. Yeah. But that's it. Like, this whole match is...
My eye!
It's like, Jerry Lawler's just living in Terry Funk's world in this match, I think. It's just, the whole thing is, yeah, just a funk show. But it's great. Like, it's just so a great little exposure to Terry Funk as, like, a character. Just chaotic, just all over the place, but such a great character. Such an amazing character.
And so captivating. Like, I could not turn away from this, you know? I'm just as, like, glued to the TV while I'm watching this because it's, like, so weird and so great. And, like, again, like, Lance Russell's like commentary of it, where like my favorite line I think of the entire match is Lance, like, again, his beautiful dry delivery of like, Terry Funk, a victim of his own plotting, like
it just slowly zooms in on Terry Funk's face as he's like bleeding out.
And then the other bit of like, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly why there are officials assigned to keep some kind of order to this thing rather than this animal kind of thing that we're seeing here today. Like, fuck, man.
It's so good. It's so good. I think it's not a match that I would watch for the wrestling purposes. It's purely just the entertainment value of Terry Funk and his hate for Jerry Lawler. Like, the entertainment value is there. It's a great thing to watch for, like, character work. And just, like, someone who just, like, absolutely lives their character. Just, like, does not...
Oh, man, the commitment. The commitment to one's character. Like, there is no one ever going to be in wrestling like Terry Funk. Like, anyone's going to be anywhere near as, like, original, but just weird and wonderful in every way. Like... Fuck, man. It's like, just, and again, that like being such a contradiction, like he's called Jerry Lawler out, you know, Jerry Lawler has eventually, like, you know, left him bloody, like with his eyes, screaming for a doctor, and then somehow he turns that around while he's in the ring, like, you know, on his knees, covering his eye, worried he's gonna lose his eye, and then he somehow goes from like, where'd Lawler go? Oh, Lawler's yellow. He's yellow. Lola, come back here, you yellow pig. And he just got screaming pig over and over again. And that is the end. Like, you just pled, you know, like, him for him to please, like, go away and him to get you a doctor or something. And now he's, like, this coward that's, like, left the fight. So good.
I feel like it's purely just, like, he lives purely in, like, the there and then. He doesn't care what he's just said. Like, he's one of those people that... If you put a mic in front of him and said, like, oh, you just said this, it's a bit contradictory, he'd just outright say, like, no, it wasn't. I never said that.
Yeah.
Just entirely exactly. In there and then. He's just like, no, I want this and I want this right now. And I'm just going to go, like, I'm going to go 100% for it. Yeah. And it's just, especially back then when everyone was, like, such larger-than-life characters. Like, you had to travel to see these people, like, in the days where, like, you know, the only big exposure you could get to these wrestlers was actually going to the events. Having such like a far-reaching character like Terry Funk, and then you never knew what you were going to get, like which kind of Terry Funk you were going to get on the day, but you just knew there was going to be just chaos ensuing.
Yep, no matter what, always chaos.
I think it's so good. And then especially committing it to it like this, just like an arena with no people in it whatsoever. Not even an official. Just Lance. Just kind of commentating as it goes along. It's just so good. It's just such good commitment. And then Jerry Lawler really didn't have to do anything. Like,
right? And like, even if you look at it, like the amount of words spoken in this match, and we look at like the amount said by Terry Funk, like Jerry Lawler probably said like 10 words in this entire match.
Yeah, he literally shows up. He's just like, what the fuck? I'm here. Like, even when he walks out, he like walks into the ring silently. The whole time, Terry Funk is just abusing him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's literally just, it's the Funk show the whole time. And yeah, and then also the post-match promo where you get Terry Funk with an eye patch. Great.
Yes. And even more like contradictory than the last, him basically being like, I have, you know, one eye left in my head and blah, blah, blah. But that Jerry Lawler is such a coward. He ran away from me in this fight and I'm finally going to get my command. Opposite of what just happened.
He will never be able to wrestle again.
So come on down to the Mid-South Coliseum next week for this fence match, and you'll see the last match of Jerry Lawler's career. So fucking good.
Yeah. He's just such a great character. Like, you can watch him do anything and he could make it entertaining, honestly. He could run his own cooking show.
Man, I honestly think, like, Terry is, the more I think about it, I think Terry is the greatest of all time. And it's like, it's just, this is magical. And the reason why I included this in the first ever wrestling club was, again, because the whole thing was meant to be about like the weird and wonderful variety of wrestling that's out there. And I think nothing really surmises the weird and wonderful fucked up nature of wrestling than this quote unquote match, you know?
A match, but those two guys make it. Like, Lawler for going along with it. Lawler's just like, all right, fuck it, let's just do this. And then Funk just being so engrossed in it. He's just like, you and me squaring this mano a mano. No referees, no regulations, just us two. And they ended in such a good way. Because I genuinely, like, when I first saw it, I genuinely didn't know how the match was meant to end.
Because
I was like, oh, surely there's like a referee coming at the same stage. No, it's just Lance and a cameraman. That's it. The other two people that
so good,
and as hokey as it is, like, they do it in like a clever little way,
wonderfully hokey. It's like the most hammed up shit you ever did see, but in the best way.
But that's it, like, you see like stuff like that gets hammed up, as opposed to Terry Funk, just that's just him day to day. I think it's just such a good character to introduce and watch videos of, watch his promos of, how he talks. He's a great entertainer and wrestler. Like, I think he was one of the things that made me want to develop like a character, like just be larger than life all the time. Like, whenever people see you, just be on. Whenever you're in character, just be on.
Mm.
You have to walk and talk that way.
Definitely reminds me a lot of the wild-eyed, crazy, skinny D from Wakel's Most Wanted, might I say.
Well, that was it. Like, I always just, like, because Terry Funk just always exudes that confidence, and it's just like, he always thinks he's right. He always, like, no matter what he's doing, he's just like, no, this is the right thing to do. I'm in the right here. This guy's wrong. This guy's at fault. It's never me. Like, just always have that mentality. Or, like, always just go with it. Doesn't matter, like, how bad it looks, just go with it, just run with it. And then that's like what Terry Funk always did. And I was just like, oh, I'm a guy who does crimes. I'm just going to go with it. Just pretend like I'm the one that's been hard done by. I'm the world's at fault, but not me. But yeah.
And I think completely committing to it, and that's probably the biggest thing I would say. Like, you with that character, like, completely committed to it in the exact same way that we see Terry here. And I think that's a real good message for a lot of people in wrestling. No matter what you're doing, just fucking commit to it in every way possible.
Well, just give something that no one else can give. Like, what is something that you personally can give to wrestling? Like, I know people
I know a lot of people say, like, oh, wrestling doesn't owe you anything and all that kind of stuff, which is, like, true. Like, it's not like a bank. You can't get, like, a loan out, or it doesn't owe you credit. But, like, you just put stuff into it. Just go, what can I give to wrestling? And then go with it. And then there'll be people out there that love it. Like, oh, it's just, you know, what can I do that no one else can do? And it turns out just being a complete another piece of shit. Shoplift. You know, just be as chaotic as possible. Just like, you know, I've got quite good like facial expressions, I think. And then so just do more of that. Do as much of that as possible. You know, if you're a chaotic person, just dial it up to 11, and then it helps you. I think connecting to your character in that way is the most important thing, because if you don't believe what you're selling, then neither will they. Like, people will pick up on it straight away.
It's got to be authentic.
And people will just disengage, because when you start wrestling, or when you have to turn that gear up in wrestling, you completely disconnect from your character, and you just get focused on, like, oh, what's going on in the match. I need to do this, I need to do this. And your face changes and you go into like a more serious posture. People just disengage because it's gone, oh, there's the hokey. Oh, here's the wrestling. Oh, here's a bit of character work. Here's a heat, shine, all that kind of jazz. Whereas if you're able to commit to your character fully, like Terry Funk, at no point in that match was anyone other than Terry Funk.
Yeah.
He was so chaotic. He was so all over the place. Like when he's just like screaming and howling, where he's like, yeah, trying to brain Jerry Lawler with the table. It's Terry Funk. You're entertained by that. Like, no one else is in that arena, and you're watching, like, an empty arena match with two guys just, like, beating the shit out of each other. You're entertained by it.
How could you not be?
Because he doesn't break character. Completely engrossed in his own character, because he is that person.
Absolutely love it.
Yeah. I think it's a very good thing to watch for any person who's, like, developing a character. Just watch how he stays that way the whole time.
So much you can learn, for sure. Well, thank you so much, my dude. Just about getting ready to go to work, but I appreciate your time. Love our chats, nice. My dude, as always.
Yeah, man, I love it as well. But yeah, two great matches. Give them a watch if you can. And also, Chris's art will be up, so make sure you check that out. Oh, we didn't even discuss this piece of art, actually. We'll quickly give that a shout out.
Well, it was just me trying to capture the magic of Terry just being in pain in this one man show, and I didn't feel any need to include Jerry Lawler in it either, you know.
Yeah. One thing I do love about this piece is the amount of effort you put into getting as many chairs squeezed into that as possible, just to like. Like, look at all these empty seats.
It's true, because I was originally going to, you know, normally I do the black, you know, no background. It's just the ring.
Yeah.
I was like, you got to show the empty seats. That's the whole thing. So, yeah.
I do love it. The one time there's a background, there's actually no background. Like, I always think it's so funny. It's just like whether there's no audience or the audience is absolutely packed. Sometimes in a great wrestling match, the whole audience just disappears anyway. So... yeah, no, I think it was great.
There is something I love about the darkened arena.
Yes.
But yeah, no, thanks, dude. And yeah, it's just really fun to try to pick that exact posture of Terry just being in this, like, theatrical, like, my eye, like, kind of movement. So good.
Yeah, like one bloody hand reaching out. He's like, my eye. Yeah.
Somebody call a doctor!
Yeah. It's great. All right, man. Well, thank you for having me on.
Thanks, man.
Have a lovely day.
You're welcome. Thank you. I always look forward to our chats, brother.
Yeah, they're always a good time. All right, mate. We'll see you later.
All right. Have a good day, dude.
Yes, brother.
Bye. All right. There we go. Another match of the week in the can. Thank you, David. I hope everyone enjoyed that. I had a blast. Both matches, but especially that Terry Funk, Jerry Lawler empty arena match is got to be one of the most fun things to just get to talk and vibe over. Enjoy together with friends, you know. It was a big part of the wrestling club for that reason, I think. I was very interested in sort of being able to, you know, get other people's takes on it. My my partner Kaylin apparently fucking hated it. I mean, she's not a wrestling fan in any sense of the word, so it's its own thing. But I always find it so fascinating how, you know, different people can have such drastically different levels of appreciation for something like that. So yeah, I'm intrigued. I don't know whether everyone out there would share the same enthusiasm that we had for that match, but I think there's a lot to enjoy personally. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed. I hope you guys get something out of, you know, hopefully getting to watch these matches in theory, and then getting to listen to us ramble on about them. And if you ever have some thoughts on it, please shoot them on through. Please swing me a message. I really enjoy this thing, and I hope you do too. I'd like to say a big thank you to our Social Suplex team for keeping this show on the airwaves. Socialsuplex.com, where you can find updates of this podcast, I assume, and also a variety of other rad podcasts, from Keeping It Strong Style to One Nation Radio to Imp's WWE Adventure. There's an AEW show, Trish and Sarah Talk or something. Trish and Sarah Show. I don't know, something like that. The Tunnel Talk. So there's a lot of things, all sorts of stuff on there. So whether this kind of eclectic, weird wrestling stuff is your vibe, or whether you want to, you know, hear some folks, you know, talk about some New Japan or AEW or even WWE, they've got you all covered. So thank you, Social Suplex. As always, a real thank you to you guys. Still blows me away that you guys take the time to actually, you know, listen to me gaggle on as I do. If you get some sort of enjoyment out of that, that makes me feel nice. If you would like to support the show, a few ways that you can do so. You can be leaving a review on the iTunes or whatnot. Tell a friend if you have someone that likes wrestling and or weird stuff, you know, just tell them about it. Hey, this is weird Chris Things wrestling art podcast. Or even like just the wrestling artist interview sides of it. Even if people just listen to those, you know, that's quite a nice thing to think about. I always have such a fun time getting to talk to other wrestling artists and find out all about their practice. That reminds me, I'll have to do another one of those in the near future. But other way that you can support me is by buying my art. You know, if in theory you find it to be kind of cool or at least all right, then you know you can buy prints of said artworks, you can buy prints of said matches of the week, you can even buy original paintings, mugs, t-shirts, all the things that can all be found at christhings.com.au. You can keep up with all my nonsense both on my Instagram at christhings, but also I've got a nifty little newsletter that I send out every end of every week. Give some little updates here and there, sort of list all of the new artworks that I may have available. Also, this might be a good one. It's also the place where I post the links to all these matches that we're talking about. So, I mean, a lot of them aren't that hard to find. You could probably do it yourself, but, it can be a little bit easier to have a little just clicks give an old link to take you to the thing. So, yeah, if you sign up to that email newsletter, it's a free newsletter on the contact page of my website. You can sign up to that one, and then yeah, you can just be easily able to watch all of these matches at the click of a finger. I think that's pretty well everything. As far as future things, I guess the next thing I have on the horizon is the Lucha Fantastica, and then the part two of this wrestling club deal, which I'm very excited about. So yeah, I hope everyone is having fun out there. hope you're all working away at your own projects and enjoying that. And yeah, if especially if you do some of the wrestling art just for fun, even, you know. And even if you're not in a place where you're wanting to, you know, post that onto the social medias, buddy, please feel very welcome. If you ever, you know, do a little old picture or a drawing or whatever it is, please shoot those through to me as well. I'm keen to see what you guys do. And, you know, I'd love to be able to support your own, you know, drawing ambitions or art or whatever it is, right back at you. So thanks again, guys. I appreciate every one of you, and I think this is the end of the show. I'll see y'all next week. Bye. Enjoy. I do the hammer lock.